Well, good morning, Crossline family. So glad that you guys are here, that you have made time to be here this morning. I am grateful. As Kevin said earlier, my name is Clint. I am one of the pastors here on staff. And what a great Sunday to be here. Every time we do Baptism Sundays, it is one of my favorite days of the year. And I know we got some exciting stuff happening after the service. We've got people that are ready, came ready to be baptized today. And that's super exciting. But here's something we say here at Crossline. I know for a fact that God has a next step of faith for every single person in this room. And maybe you're here this morning and you didn't come thinking baptism was your next step. But God might just tap you on the shoulder this morning, and that might be the thing that you need to do today. Maybe you weren't planning on it, but we have been planning for you. And so I just want to say, as we go throughout this service, if you feel like a tug on your heart, if you feel a tap on your shoulder, if you feel like God wants you to take that step, if you've never made that choice for yourself, this morning could be your morning. And we've been preparing for you and we're ready for you. And so if that happens, just know it's okay. You can get baptized this morning. All right. You can join everybody else that has come ready for this moment. You can get in this morning as well and take that step of faith if God is calling you to it. And so as we get jumping into our series, I am so excited that we are doing this series. I love it, man. This series is called Grit, Stronger Through the Storm. And, you know, when we start talking about grit, I just want to define it so we're all clear about what we're talking about. This is not the thing that Southerners have for breakfast, okay? That's not what we're talking about. It's not that piece of sand that works its way into your mouth somehow while you're eating something. That is not the grit we're discussing. Grit, as defined by Merriam-Webster Dictionary, is unyielding courage in the face of hardship or danger. Unyielding courage in the face of hardship or danger. And when we're following Jesus, grit starts to look like this. It's something that Kevin started to define for us last week. Grit, when following Jesus, is trained trust, learned resilience. It is choosing ahead of time and in the middle of the mess to anchor your life on Jesus, on his word, on his ways, in his presence, and in his wisdom. That's what grit is when we're following Jesus. And if you're here this morning, and maybe you don't know about faith, you're still exploring faith, you're not even sure about this whole Jesus thing, I just want to say, I'm glad you're here. This is a perfect morning to discover about what faith can do for you. And especially in the middle of the storm, because make no mistake, storms are coming. As a matter of fact, I hear it raining right now. Thank you, Lord. God planned that out. I'm just letting you know. I did not plan that. God planned that. Jesus tells us in the Gospels, he says, in this world, you will have trouble. Jesus is talking to us, he didn't say trouble. You might have some trouble. You might run into a couple of tough days. Don't worry. Your life will be perfect. You'll never have any trouble. No, he says, in this world, you will have trouble. Storms are coming, but he leaves us with an encouragement. He says, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Last week, Kevin brought up a quote from Jesus as he's ending his Sermon on the Mount, his famous long teaching that he has. And he ends his teaching talking about two different builders. One builder who builds their life on the rock, the ways of Jesus, the words of Jesus, right? This person builds their life on that. And the other person who builds their life on sand, the ways and the words of this world. And when the storm comes, the person who builds their house on the rock will withstand the storm. The person who builds their life on sand, well, what they've built will crumble in the middle of a storm. And then he shared with us a powerful story of what that actually looks like. And if you missed last week's service, I cannot encourage you enough to go to crosslinecommunity.org, go to the watch tab and watch last week's message. It was a powerful testimony from Kevin and his wife, Melissa, about what it looks like to live through a really difficult storm. And they showed us a story of a family that wins with Jesus. And here's why this series and that story is so important. We started out this school year in August with a series called Made to Win. We believe that Crossline exists to help families win with Jesus. Everything we are doing is moving towards that. But here's the truth about families that win with Jesus. Winning doesn't always mean easy. And winning doesn't always feel like victory. As a matter of fact, winning rarely feels like winning while you're in it. Winning is having grit. A winning family gets back up every time they've been knocked down. That's what winning is. And that's what we're going to be talking about how to do today and over these next few weeks. Not pretending that storms don't come, but giving us the tools to thrive even when they do. Because real victory isn't avoiding the storm. It's standing through it and coming out stronger on the other side. And so to start today, I want to show you something. It's from this movie called Interstellar, which if you haven't seen it, it's a great movie. It's a sci-fi movie about deep space travel and black hole theory and parallel universe, kind of crazy, and a whole bunch of other stuff. It's a great movie. And if you've never seen it, this moment we're going to watch might make your pulse jump a little bit. So just a warning there. In this scene, everything's falling apart. Alarms are blaring. Metal is flying. And a ship is spinning out of control. And the only way out is to lock on, match the spin, and hope it works. Let's watch this together.
And then we can talk about completing the mission.
Dr. Mann, listen to me.
This is not about my life or Cooper's life. This is about all mankind. There is a moment.
It is not...
No point in using our fuel to
analyze the endurance's spin.
Cooper, what are you doing?
Docking.
Endurance rotation is 67, 68 RPM.
Okay, get ready to match our spin with the retro thrusters.
It's not possible.
No, it's necessary.
Stratosphere.
She's got no heat shield.
Hey, she ready?
Ready. Cooper, this is no time for caution.
Pace, if I black out, you take a stick.
Stars, you ready to engage the docking mechanism?
The turrets are starting to heat.
20 feet out.
I need 3 degrees starboard, Cooper.
10 feet out.
Cooper, we are lined up.
Initiating spin.
Thank you.
Main engine's on. Pushing out of orbit.
Come on, baby.
Killing main engines. Okay, we're out of orbit.
Man, that scene is so good. It makes me want to go watch the whole movie every time I watch it. I loved hearing the gasp when the initial explosion happened. That really got some of you guys. It's awesome. McConaughey in that scene is so locked in. I think he only blinked once while the camera was on him, like right there at the very beginning. And as you're watching it, you can almost feel it, right? Like the chaos that's all going all around, that helplessness, that desperate need for something to hold on to, for something to go right. And you don't have to be an astronaut in deep space to know what that feels like, because these kind of things hit not just in space, but also in our homes. These kind of moments happen when we get that diagnosis that we didn't see coming, when that job loss comes out of nowhere, when that argument ends in silence, that night that you lie awake just running every what if thought through your mind. And if you've been alive long enough, you've had a storm in your life that made you feel like everything was spinning and you just couldn't stop it. And if I'm being truthful, when those kind of storms hit my life, my reaction is rarely noble. My reaction is not usually like, oh, great, something difficult in my life. Can't wait to grow from this, right? Like that's not usually how I respond. I usually respond one of two ways. Usually this is the advice that we get during hurricanes. Usually you get like one or two pieces of advice during a hurricane from the newscasters. They're either telling you to hunker down, like everybody just strap in, put the boards on your windows and hunker down, or they're telling you run, get out, drive your car, get far away because this is going to be bad, right? And that's usually my reaction. That's what I want to do when my marriage is not where I want it. When I'm struggling financially, when my daughter decides to look me right in the eye and lie to me like I'm an idiot. When someone in my family causes chaos, when I'm hurt or when I'm struggling at work, my immediate reaction is oftentimes just to grip and try and hold and white knuckle through the situation, or to try and ignore it and avoid it and not engage with it at all until it just maybe blows over. That's what I want to do, but you know what I've learned? Treating storms like that doesn't actually make them go away. It just means that they circle back a little closer and a little louder next time. And so we need something to make it through the storm. And that's where I want to take us today. Not how to avoid a storm, but how to stand it. How do we make it through chaos without losing who we are? How do we develop something deeper, that ability to stay steady when everything else feels like it's falling apart? This morning, we're going to look at the first tool that you need to do this. And that tool is this: faith. Faith is the first tool that we need to be able to make it through the storm and have spiritual grit. And faith's an interesting subject because a lot of things are asking for your faith, your trust, right? The world wants us to put our faith in a lot of different stuff. The world tells us to put our faith in ourselves. Just trust your heart. Follow your heart wherever it wants to go and trust that. Have faith in that. Have faith in the government. Don't do that, right? Like, that's but the world said you can do it. Have faith in AI. It will take us into the future. It's going to solve all of our problems, right? Have faith in crystals, this inorganic material that can somehow make your life better. Have faith in manifestation. If you just think something will happen enough times, eventually it will happen, right? Like, have faith in that. The world's telling us to have faith in so many things, but I got to tell you, you got to be careful what you put your faith in. I learned that one time when I was trying to buy something on Craigslist. If you guys don't know what Craigslist is, it was the space, it was Facebook Marketplace before Marketplace, right? That's what Craigslist was. You could go buy things from other people. And one time I was trying to buy a laptop. I wanted a new MacBook Pro, and I was like going to go to Craigslist to get one so I could get it for cheaper. And I'm searching, and I find this great deal on a MacBook Pro. It was like $500. It was like $300 cheaper than everything else I was looking at. And I was like, great, I found the deal. And so I reach out to this person, and we, you know, start the conversation or whatever, and turns out this person doesn't live in my same area. And so what they said is, like, in order for both of us to be safe in this transaction, there's a third party that specializes in this kind of stuff, and what you do is you send them the $500 money order, and I send them the computer, and then when they get both, they send us the things that we're supposed to have. And I was like, sounds kind of fishy, you know, like, I don't know. But I went and I checked out this web. I was like, okay, well, let me go check this company out. And so I Google the company. There's a website. I go on their website. I click around. They've got different pages. They've got terms of service and all kinds of. I'm like, okay, this seems legit. And so I go to Publix. I get a money order, $500. I send it to this company, and I got no laptop. It was a fake website. Tough, right? I learned a $500 lesson on faith that day. And maybe you're here this morning, and that's kind of how you feel when it comes to faith. Maybe you're still not sure where or what to put your faith in. What can you trust? You've been trying different things, and none of it's been reliable. Well, can I just say, you are in the right place this morning. Because here's what's true about God. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can put our trust in that. We can put our faith in him because he will not let us down. But is that all faith is? Is it just a trust thing? I'm just going to find something and that's what I put my trust in, and then all of a sudden I can make it through the storms in life? Or is there something a little bit deeper to faith? Well, to answer that question, we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And we're going to let the Bible define how it describes faith, right? This is what Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things that we cannot see. See, for the Bible, faith is a reality-shaping hope. It is evidential of the unseen. And I got to tell you, when I'm in a storm, I need some evidence, right? Because it's great to say this is true or that's true, but when you're in the middle of it and your emotions are swirling and you're not sure which way is up sometimes, I need something I can hold on to, something that's got some substance to it. And Hebrews is saying that's what real faith is. It's an evidence of things that you can't see yet. Faith has power in our lives. It has the power to reshape our reality. It is the thing we can hold on to when chaos is all around us, when uncertainty is defining every day. It is faith that steadies us and gives us a point to focus on. Faith is the foundation of grit. If you want grit, it's got to start with faith, because faith knows and keeps its eyes locked on what is possible, not just what is. One of my favorite stories of faith in the Bible just so happens to take place during a storm. It is with Jesus and one of his disciples named Peter. Now, Peter is one of my favorite people in the Bible. He is kind of your everyman. He was a fisherman. He was married. And Peter was had a little bit of impulse control. Sometimes he would just say things. I identify with that. I appreciate that about Peter. He, in his life and in his journey with Jesus, had a lot of ups and downs, which I also appreciate about Peter. And where we're going to pick up in this story, Jesus and his disciples had just finished the miracle of feeding the 5,000, right? They took a couple of loaves of bread and a few fish, and they fed over 5,000 people with it and had leftovers. I don't know what you do with leftovers before refrigerators, but they had leftovers, all right? So they finished that miracle. That's crazy. Oh my gosh, did you see what Jesus did? And then Jesus is like, all right, fellas, get in that boat, cross the Sea of Galilee, which is like a giant lake, and I'll meet you on the other side, but I need to go up this mountain and pray first, and I'll meet you guys over there. And they're like, all right, I guess, you know. So like good disciples, they just did what Jesus said, and they get in this boat, and they start rowing, right? And it's late, and all of a sudden, which happens on the Sea of Galilee from time to time because it's a sea located with like mountains kind of all around it. And so weather can descend on the lake very quickly and temperature and things can change really fast depending on where the storm's coming from. And so that happened to them in this moment. They're rowing a dinghy across this lake, right? They're not in a nice sailboat. They're not in a motorboat. They are getting themselves across this lake together, all 12 of them. And all of a sudden, the weather shifts like that. Wind whips up. Waves are coming. You can imagine waves kind of splashing up on the boat. And you can't see anything. It's dark. It's late, right? And that's where we're going to pick up in our story in Matthew chapter 14. We're going to be in verses 25 through 31. Let's read this together, starting in verse 25. About 3 o'clock in the morning. All right, so you might imagine they're pretty tired at this moment. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. And in their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" Right? So like, maybe they were delusional. It is 3 o'clock in the morning, but they were like scared. And what they saw was not Jesus. What they thought they saw was like a spirit hovering over. They thought it was a ghost coming to get them, coming to haunt them in the middle of this storm. Verse 26, when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. Verse 27, but Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage. I am here." Verse 28, then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" I love this story of Peter. And I think there's some things that we can draw on this morning that can help us have a faith that navigates storms with grit. I think one of the most important things that this story in Scripture shows us is that faith fixes our eyes on Jesus. Faith fixes our eyes on Jesus. For those of you who are in here, parents, maybe I have some parents who've taught their kids to drive. What do you tell your kids when they're driving about where their eyes are? Which direction do you usually go when you're driving a car? The way you look, right? Whichever way your eyes are focused, that is typically where the car is going to go. So if you're driving and you're looking out the window this way, you're probably going to start, you know, right? So don't do this. Is why distracted driving is so bad, right? And look, like I said in that clip, I don't know if I think Matthew McConaughey blinked once that entire scene. His laser focus in that moment was the only thing that saved them. I mean, think about our story. What happened to Peter as soon as he took his eyes off Jesus? What happened? He started sinking. As soon as his eyes were on the storm, he started going under the water. But when his eyes were locked on Jesus, he walked on top of the storm. Jesus has to be what our faith is focused on. Nothing else can save us. Like I said, the world will promise a lot of things can save you in a storm. The world tells you, hey, are you struggling in your marriage? Is your marriage in a storm? That's okay. You can get a new one, right? Like, just forget that one and go get a new one. Because when we're in that marriage storm, all we can see is the problems with the other person. If our faith isn't focused on Jesus, but we're focused on the storm, all we're going to see is the problems in that other person. Hey, is there a storm? Are you feeling incredibly lonely? Are you feeling down all the time? Don't worry. If that's your problem, we got a lot of things to distract you We've got a plethora of drugs that you can take. And some of them are prescribed and some of them aren't. And it doesn't really matter which one you take, but it'll help you in this storm. It'll make you feel better in this moment. And when all you can see is the storm, all you want is to feel better. But when our eyes are locked on Jesus, our faith helps us see a different reality. When our focus is the storm, we will struggle to keep our head above those waves. We'll be overwhelmed, we'll be stressed, we'll be distracted and consumed by whatever the storm in our life is. But when we hold to faith, it keeps our eyes locked on the only one who can save us. Faith keeps us focused not just on what is, but what can be. See, faith tells us vision is actually more important than sight. Here's vision. Vision is what can be. Vision is what's ahead. Vision is where we're going. Vision is something that I am believing for. Sight is just what's here. This is why Paul will later say that we believers, we walk by faith and not by sight. And look, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that faith is easy, because it's not always easy. But it is always a choice. Fear is our other choice. And before Peter gets out of that boat, you can see there's 12 guys in that boat that are afraid. They think there's a ghost coming after them. And so in that moment, Jesus does a couple of things. He identifies himself, right? He says, "It is I." And then he calls Peter to do something different. He calls Peter out of the boat. And then something really important happens actually before all of that. He says probably some of the most important words in Scripture. He says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. That phrase or a variation of that phrase occurs in the Bible 365 times. One for every day of the year. See, our biggest enemy in a storm isn't actually the storm. It's fear. And that fear wants to keep you in the boat, hunkered down. That fear wants you to avoid or run away from a scary ghost. And truthfully, we are a fearful bunch. There's a lot of videos that you can watch of people getting jump scared, right? Like, we are almost as scared as sheep, right? There's a reason Jesus makes that analogy a whole bunch of times. Faith wants you to see Jesus. Faith wants you to hear Jesus calling you. Fear doesn't disappear, doesn't go away. So faith isn't the absence of fear. What faith is it's choosing Jesus over fear. What if focusing on Jesus was your first reaction? What if instead of fear, focusing on Jesus was your first reaction? Peter's faith also did something incredible that really makes faith in Christ stand out from anything else. See, Peter's faith in the middle of that storm shows us that in the storm, faith makes the impossible possible. It's faith that makes the impossible possible. It's Peter's trust in who Jesus is. It's his evidence of things unseen that he clings to. When Jesus shows up, he says, "Don't be afraid, it's me." And Peter initiates the faith move. Peter calls out to Jesus. And he says, "Lord, if it's really you, call me out there and I'll walk on the water to meet you." See, Peter saw a reality that didn't currently exist for him. And it's his faith in Christ that did that. Faith has us try what seems impossible and match the spin. Faith has us get up every single day, even when it's hard. Faith has us hold on to the reality of hope and trust in God's character and his promises for us. We heard this in Kevin's story last week. Kevin has a deep faith in Jeremiah 29:11, where God says, "I have good plans for you." And it is his faith in those good plans that even in the midst of pain and tears, months after months, he held on to something good has to happen. because he knows who God is. Something good has to happen. Peter here is in the middle of a storm. The waves are crashing, the boat's rocking, and Jesus calls him to do something different. 11 other guys stayed in that boat. He calls Peter to something new, something that nobody had ever seen before. Do we want to be the one, or do we want to be the 11? It's Peter's faith that allows him to see something impossible. And notice here that the storm didn't stop. Jesus didn't come out, walk on water, and Peter's like, call me out. And he's like, all right, cool, let me settle this down a little bit. You know, let's have some calm seas, and then you can walk on the water. No, no, no. The waves are still coming up. The wind is still swirling and whipping. Rain is coming down. The storm did not stop, but what was possible changed in an instant. And I think so often when we come to storms in our life, the question is, why? Why, Lord? Why is this happening? Why is this going on? And there's a lot of answers to that question. It's a big question with a lot of answers. But two come to my mind when we look at the story of Peter. One is that I think God wants to do something incredible in us. See, it's in the storm where faith grows. It's in the storm where God does something in you. Jesus fed the 5,000. They did that together, but it wasn't until a storm happened that Peter walked on water. There was a moment where God wanted to grow some faith in the rock, right? The more your faith grows, the more you do. The bigger your faith, the greater your faith, the more you can keep your eyes on Jesus, the better husband you'll be, the better wife you'll be, the better parent you'll be, the better worker you'll be. Like, you will be better as your faith grows. And I think one of the other things that God wants to do in a storm, why? Is I think he wants to do something incredible through us. God wants to use you and do a miracle in your life. But it takes a storm for it to be impactful. When we go through storms and we keep our faith in God, not only does he do something in us, but he can do amazing things through us. A moment like that happened for me when I was in high school. I was in youth group, and we were doing this fundraising initiative for a missions program, and I had committed. I felt like God called me to commit a big number from in high school. At 17 years old, that number was $1,000. And I was like, I don't know how I'm going to do it, God, but you got this. You know, it was like, seemed like I couldn't, it was like a million, might as well have been $1 million, right? And so I took that step of faith and I committed that money and I was being faithful to giving to this thing. But honestly, with my part-time job and school and everything, I was like, some weeks I had gas money, some weeks I didn't, you know, like, are we going to make it to youth group this week? And so one particular week, this was the case, and I had like zero money in the bank, and I was too prideful to ask anybody for help, and so I was just going to try and make it through. I had about a quarter of a tank left, and for youth group, I was always going to pick up one or two kids, bring them to youth, and then they could usually get a ride home, and so I was kind of going through my normal routine. I was like, you know, quarter tank of gas, I should be able to get to the church and pick people up, and then I got one day of get to school and back. My school's real close, so I think I could just make it to payday, right? I had kind of like timed it all out. And I do my normal routine. I get to youth. And as soon as I get there with the kid in the car, I get another call. And it's another youth kid. He's like, hey, I'm not going to be able to make it this week unless I get a ride. Can you come pick me up? And I was like, I had just enough gas, man. I don't know if I've got enough gas to come get you. He's like halfway across town. But I couldn't not do it. I was like, sure, man, I'll come get you. And I was like, maybe I'll have enough. You know, come on, Honda Civic, we can do this. We'll go, you know, we'll go in neutral at the red lights. I'll turn the AC off, roll the windows. Like, I knew all the tricks, right? Squeeze some gas out of that car. So I go and pick this kid up. We get back to youth. And sure enough, all the little digital bars on my gauge were gone. And all that was left was a yellow light above the E, right? That's my car saying, hey, homie, you better get some gas, right? And so that's where we were at. And I was like, oh, man, I messed up. I don't know what to do. Can I even get home on this? Like, all the things start running through my mind. And I just remember in that moment, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to pray for something cool because I just know God's big. And so in that moment, I said, God, I don't know how I'm going to get home. I know that you wanted me to get this kid here, but I don't know how I'm going to make it home. I need you to do something. make this E last another 2 days, fill up my tank, whatever you want to do, but we got to get somewhere, you know, and I need you to do it because I can't. I got zero money, all right? And so I go to youth, do the whole thing. I kind of, you know, put it out of my mind. I almost forgot about it, right? I get back in my car, sit down. I'm like, the kids that I had brought had another ride home, thank the Lord. And I was like, okay, here we go. I don't even know if I'm going to make it home. I have to push this thing. So I turn it on. I kid you not. When I turned it on, I had 4 digital bars back on that gas gauge. God put gas in my car. It's impossible. That's impossible. But it happened. It happened. The cool thing about faith is that we have the faith in the creator of everything. There's nothing impossible to him. Faith makes the impossible possible. One of the other parts I love about Peter is that he's not perfect. He fails a lot. And even in his moment of faith, he fails. Peter's walking on the water and he takes his eyes off of Jesus and he starts to focus on the storm. Can you imagine the fear and panic that might set in? Like, you're walking on the water and it's like, wow, this is kind of crazy. And then like a big wave like crashes in front of you and you hear, and you're just like, I am out here in the middle. Like, the water's black. If you've ever been on a cruise boat at night, it's freaky. You're just like, you can't see anything, right? And all of a sudden, he starts to sink. And cold water hits his knees. Cold water hits his waist. And he realizes, I'm going down. I don't know if Peter could swim. Maybe he couldn't. What was his move in that moment? As soon as he realized what was going on, his reaction was to call out to Jesus. Save me, Lord. He didn't start trying to swim. He didn't start trying to run back to the boat. He didn't just give up. His first reaction was, save me, Lord. And as soon as he yelled that, Jesus reaches out and grabs him and brings him close. See, faith saves us even when we slip. Faith saves us even when we slip. I'm not standing up here saying storms are easy, because they're not. They're hard. And it's not just, if I just believe hard enough, everything will be good. That's not what we're preaching either. We all falter. We all get caught up in the winds and the waves of life. That happens. Sometimes it's hard for me to see beyond whatever the current frustration of my marriage is. It can consume me. Sometimes it's hard for me to believe that God is actually doing something as I'm working, toiling away, and it feels like nothing is changing. Sometimes that's all I can see. But even when my faith wavers, Jesus rescues. I had a moment like this when I was in Alabama. I had moved my family. I thought that's where God wanted me to be. And as we were there, everything started crashing in around me. I was failing at my job. I was failing as a husband. I was failing as a dad. And everything felt like it was going wrong. And I couldn't figure out why. I thought I was doing all the right stuff. I was doing everything that I knew how to do. And in a moment, in my car on the way to the gym, I am like crying out for God. I don't know what to do, but I need you here. What are you doing? And it was in that moment that Jesus reached down and he let me know, hey, what you're experiencing is your value being tied to what you do. He said, you're not a youth pastor, you're my son. And in that instant, it felt like everything else was going to be okay. That's who Jesus is. What Peter and Jesus show us and what I have experienced personally is that Jesus doesn't wait for perfect faith. He meets us in sinking moments. He meets us in those sinking moments. And I just want to say, if you feel like you're sinking this morning, Jesus is ready to save you. He's got his hand out already. All you need to say to him is, save me, Lord. And he is faithful and he is able. I think that it takes as much faith to say, save me, Lord, when we're sinking as it does to step out of the boat in the first place. And so we need faith, but it's not automatic, right? Like, faith is a habit that we have to build. And so how do we start to build it before we're in the storm? Because it gets a lot harder when the storm's already there. Well, in order to have faith that's ready for a storm, we have to keep our eyes on Jesus. And in order to do that, we need to spend time with him and know who he is. When Peter was walking in the waves, that wasn't the first time he cried out to Jesus. When Peter was trying to have a great moment of faith, that wasn't the first time he had talked with Jesus that day, right? Like, this is so important. If you're not keeping your focus on Jesus, it doesn't get easier when your life's chaotic. It gets harder. Real grit is developed through daily habits. So my question for you is, how often are you engaging Jesus outside of a Sunday morning? Is Sunday morning, church is great, and I love being here, and this is one of my favorite parts of the week. But if this is the only time that you engage with Jesus, you're not ready for the storm. Thank you, Lord. What's your prayer life like? Is the only time you talk to God when a pastor leads prayer? Do you even know his voice? Could you hear him? Could you recognize him if he was walking on water? Or would you think he was a ghost? Would you hear his voice as he called out to you and said, "Don't be afraid"? Peter knew all those things. See, for me, God's character and his promises are the foundation of my trust and my faith in him. I know who God is, and I know what he promises me, and I know that that is true no matter my circumstances. And so are you going to the source? Do you know him for yourself? We've got to develop our faith in him before the storm so that during the storm, we're prepared. Like a hurricane prevention kit, right? You got to have all the things you need before that thing hits. Then, in order to step out of the boat and walk on waves, to walk during the storm, we've got to believe for greater than the current situation. We've got to believe for more than our current circumstances. If all Peter believed for in that moment was less storm or safety, that story would have been a lot different. If he sees Jesus out there and Jesus is like, "Hey, don't be afraid, it's me." And Peter was like, "Great, can you calm the storm down? Or can you get in the boat with us? We're really afraid," right? That story would have looked a lot different. But that's how most of us pray. "God, I got this thing going on, and I know you probably don't care. You got a lot of things going on, but if you could just help me out a little bit, if you could just make this bearable." Man, but we don't believe for greater. Peter was ready to walk on water. He told Jesus to call him out. "Jesus, call to me and I'll walk to you." He knew. He had a substance of things that he didn't see yet. And so your vision for yourself, your vision for your marriage, for your family, has got to be greater than your current situation. Are you believing God for things that you can't do on your own? And will you be willing to step out when Jesus calls you to do it? You may be in a place where that feels difficult or even impossible. I want to teach you a prayer that we learn in Mark chapter 9. Jesus is talking with this man. This man's son needs a miracle. And he says, "Jesus, if you can do it, will you do it?" And Jesus is not quite as sarcastic as me. So he didn't say, "If," you know, that's what I would have said. What Jesus says is, "Anything's possible for those who believe." And this man's response is, I think, a prayer that we can learn from this morning if you're in a tough place with this. He says, "Lord, I believe. Would you help me overcome my unbelief?" I think that's so true. Sometimes that's where we're at. I believe in Jesus. I know God. I know he's capable, but this just seems, maybe he doesn't care. Maybe I'm supposed to go through this, or maybe this is all there is, right? God, will you help me overcome my unbelief? I believe. Maybe that needs to be your prayer this morning. Or maybe there's another prayer that you need. And this is my last way to develop faith here this morning. And you can develop a habit of turning to Jesus. We've got to develop a habit of turning to Jesus. Peter, as soon as he started to sink, Lord, save me, right? If you're struggling, call out, Jesus, save me. And know that he is not going to let you down. Lord, help is a powerful prayer. Your prayer doesn't need to be longer than those two words. If your marriage is not where you want it, Lord, help. If you and your kids are constantly at each other and there's a disconnect there, Lord, help. I don't know what to do. If your income isn't matching your outcome, Lord, help. If your job is literally draining you of life every day, Lord, help. I don't know what to do. And maybe you're here today and you've never called out to Jesus. You've never put your faith in him, but you feel like you've been silently drowning for a while now. I want you to know that salvation is within reach. All you need to do is call out to Jesus, and he will rescue you from all of your sin, from all of your shame, and from all of your regret. The Bible tells us that all we have to do is confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, and we will be saved. And so if that's you this morning, if you're ready to do that, I want to provide a moment and a space for you to do that. So would everybody bow your heads and close your eyes? And if that's you, if you're ready to just call out in faith and cross that line and put your faith in Jesus for the first time, you can pray right from where you're at. You can use my words as your own, or you can say whatever you need to say to God. But you can say something like this: Jesus, help. I need you. I've been trying to go my own way, and it just hasn't worked. I'm ready to put my faith in you. Would you be Lord over my life? I submit to you. I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead, and that you are who you said you are. Would you help me to follow you the rest of the days of my life? In Jesus' name, amen.